The movement to rename French fries Freedom Fries has been met by a response from some German professors who want to replace a lot of the English words that Germans use. But there are some interesting differences between the way the Europeans and the Americans go about this kind of linguistic patriotism, as our linguist Jeff Nunberg explains.
Turnabout is fair play. Last week, a couple of German university professors announced a campaign to eliminate a number of English language words that are popular in Germany in favor of their French equivalents. Germans were urged to replace date by rendezvous, playboy by bon vivant, and cool by formidable. Even the ubiquitous OK is on the hit list. From now on, Germans are supposed to say d'accord. Ich bin d'accord, du bist d'accord. There's no chance that any of this will catch on. No more than freedom fries and freedom toast are going to take up permanent residence in our speech. But then, these language wars are really intended as symbolic exercises. And unlike other kinds of trade actions, linguistic boycotts are always for the benefit of a domestic audience. After all, it's no skin off our nose what words the Germans use or vice versa. Who knew they were saying playboy in the first place? For those German professors, the object of the campaign is to reproach the local Americophiles who have left the German language strewn with English words. But they want to do that without recalling the linguistic nationalists of the early Nazi period who wanted to purify the language of all foreign elements. German has perfectly good words of its own for notions like okay and date, but adopting the French equivalents makes it clear that the point is to demonstrate solidarity, not chauvinism. But the German approach isn't really appropriate for us. Not that English doesn't have thousands of words of French origin. In fact, when I looked at the list of English language words that the Germans were proposing to replace with French ones, it turns out that more than half of them were originally from French themselves, from date and tour to couch and model. But nobody registers those now as anything but native English stock. And when you look at the more recent borrowings that we still recognize as having a French origin, they turn out to be unsuitable for patriotic renaming, too. It's hard to imagine the House Republicans vowing to replace blasé by kicked back, or tête-à-tête by meeting. And the congressional cafeteria wasn't about to rebaptize pâté as freedom meatloaf, or quiche Lorraine as patriot custard. What kind of fare is that to serve in a U.S. government dining room? In that sense, this is very different from the frenzy of renaming during the First World War, when sauerkraut became Liberty Cabbage and hamburgers became Salisbury Steaks. Germans were a sizable presence in America back then, and renaming their dishes was a way of purging the signs of their foreignness. But this time around, we took a very different tack. We decided to replace the English word French with another English word, freedom. Of course, WAGS had a high time with that, pointing out the absurdity of freedom horn or freedom doors, not to mention freedom kiss. That phrase comes up 7,000 times on Google, an indication of how all smart alecks think alike. What made the business seem even more ridiculous to critics was that French fries aren't even French in origin. They come from Belgium. Heck, we don't even capitalize the F anymore. But then, this isn't so much about the French as about Frenchness, particularly the insidious Frenchness that works its way into our language and our culture and saps our sense of national purpose. This has less to do with them than with us. That might explain why the boycotters have generally given the other Europeans a free pass in all this. In the last 2 months' newspapers, boycott shows up near French 20 times as often as it does near German. To judge from the stories on TV, nobody's pouring Schloss Johannesberger into the gutter, along with the bottles of Chateau Lafite. Actually, I noticed that the footage always shows the bottles already open before they're poured out, and I can't help but wonder whether, well, never mind, that's what I'd do, too. For that matter, this would also explain why patriots aren't crushing bottles of Allegra pills, pouring out containers of Danone yogurt, or tearing up copies of Woman's Day and Car and Driver. True, most people aren't aware that those products are made by French-owned companies. But even if they were, they wouldn't care. The products may be French, but they aren't Gallic. Crushing a bottle of Allegra isn't going to get a rise out of the Sauternes-sipping, Roquefort-sniffing intellectuals and movie stars who took the French side when the war was being debated. I suspect that's why all those congressmen and restaurant owners seized on French fries for renaming. Of course they know that French fries aren't French, but that's the point. The gesture was so patently irrelevant and irrational that it was certain to drive the administration's critics up a wall. And maybe that's why the France bashing is still going on hot and heavy, even now that the war is a, if you'll excuse the expression, fait accompli. France may be irrelevant now, but some people still have a score to settle with Hollywood.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford and the author of The Way We Talk Now. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross.